terwyl ons gesing, toe kom hierdie skrif net by my in Psalm 5. For you bless the godly, O Lord, surround them with your shield of love. En dit is hoe God vanoggend oor ons voel. He wants to be a shield around you. He wants to protect you. And this morning, I just want to share to you something that you all know is very close to my heart, and that's the coming of the Lord. So it's again something about that. So thank you for all those people and for the singing. I couldn't believe it. The Lord is just so gracious and wonderful that He knows beforehand what He plans for us. And today I want to talk to you about preparing, getting ready, the bride of Christ. Now, this morning I want to tell you, I'm going to use quite a lot of personal things about my own family, because God just said to me, by the power of your testimony, people will understand what's happening. So forgive me if I'm using my family and myself as an example. It's not that we're so perfect or wonderful, but God has been working wonderfully, and so I just need to share that with you. So this morning I'm going to talk to you first of all about the Jewish wedding. I just want you to have a glimpse, because when I saw this, I wanted to dance. I was so excited to see the parallel in what happens in a Jewish marriage and what happened about Christ, our bridegroom. Now, the first thing that I want to say is that in a Jewish wedding, the bridegroom and his father goes to the family of the bride, and they propose to her and her family. And they ask her, would she marry him? Now, you know what? When Jesus came to earth, that's exactly what he came to do. He came down to earth. His father sent him. But you know, I remember Auntie Corin one day, those of you who are in the church know her very well. She came to speak to us on a woman's morning tea, and she spoke about the bride, preparing the bride. And you know, she said something amazing that I really never thought of before. She said, you know, when God sent Jesus down to earth, Jesus was very excited. Although he knew everything that he was going to go through, he was as excited as a bridegroom would be about his bride. Jesus was excited about you and me as a bridegroom is about his bride. Jesus can't wait for the moment that we're going to have the wedding feast. Jesus was so willing, he was so excited to get this bride ready for him, that he came down to earth to die for us. So yes, Jesus came to propose with his father, to say, will you be my bride? And that's exactly what happens when we say, yes, Lord, I want to become part of your family. Yes, I want to follow you. We are saying, yes, Lord Jesus, I'm willing to become your bride, or part of your bride. Then the next thing is the bridegroom needs to pay some money for this bride. Like in our country, the lobola. So that's exactly what the Jewish bridegroom does, and his father. They agree on a price, and the price is being paid. That's what Abraham's servant did when he went to find Rebecca. He took a lot of gifts for the father of the bride. So that is what God the Father came to agree on a price. And wasn't this price indescribable? He paid with his blood for you and me. He was so in love with us that he was willing to pay his only son's life, his blood, for me and you. Then the next thing is, you know, and this was to me so amazing. A bridegroom in the Jewish tradition is not allowed to see the bride then ever again until the day of marriage. He goes away to his father's house. Isn't that exactly what Jesus did? When he went up, when he was rising up, he said to his disciples, I am going to my father's house to do what? To prepare a place. And this is exactly what the bridegrooms do in the Jewish tradition. They go and prepare a house for him and his bride. But you know what's so amazing about that? Is that the Jewish bridegroom does not decide when the house is ready. His father does. His father looks at the house he's built and he will say, "My son, I think this is a good house. I think the house is ready now. You can stop putting tiles up and taps and whatever. It's ready now. The garden's beautiful. You may go and fetch your bride." And this is exactly what Jesus says to his disciples. "I do not even know the day when I'm coming back. Only the Father." And you know what? If Jesus has been away for 2,000 years, what a beautiful home is he busy building up in heaven. Go and read in Revelations 20 and see how great that beautiful Jerusalem city is that he's going to bring for us. A gate made of pearls. One pearl, a gate. A foundation of the most beautiful precious stones. A road made of transparent gold. And in that city, the light is not the sun, but God himself. His presence will be our delight. And that is what Jesus went to prepare for us. And that's what takes him so long. And you know what? So often we hear of people saying the coming of the Lord is in this year or in that year. And in the past, they often people, even in the 1400s, people said, "This is the time of Jesus is coming and this is the time." But it never really happened. But you know what? In these days, the whole of the body of Christ is becoming aware of this. And I believe that more and more we see the prophecies coming into fulfillment. And I believe that the bride really needs to get ready. So, yes, the house is ready. And the Father is going to call the day. But you know what's so amazing? That in the Jewish, you know, there's the feasts of the Jews. The first feast is in our year is the feast of Passover. And at the feast of Passover has been fulfilled when Jesus came to die on the cross. The next big feast is the feast of Pentecost. And that became reality when the church was born in Jerusalem. And then the next big feast is the Feast of Tabernacles, which starts with the Feast of the Trumpets. And that is the feast that's not been fulfilled yet. And now, what is so amazing about that is that that feast starts with the Feast of Trumpets, a week before the real feast. Now, you know what? A week is 7 days. And God says a day could also be a year. Often in the Jewish calendar, they talk about a year week. Now, what happens is that when that trumpet blows, they can only blow the trumpet when the moon is ready. So nobody can know the exact time or the exact day. They know the season because they know it's time for the Feast of Tabernacles, which is in September, August, September. So they know exactly. Now when the Feast of Trumpets must start is on the day of the full moon. So can you see that when Jesus comes, only the Father knows. Nobody knows. Like when the full moon comes, nobody knows. You must wait for the full moon to come. And that's exactly what's going to happen. We will not know the day when Jesus comes, but we can see that the season is ready. So we need to be ready for that. We need to know. And you know what? When I was a little girl, I was always so scared of this fire and brimstone that's going to fall on the earth. I used to have nightmares. And when I heard the truth about Jesus coming to fetch us, then I said, "No, please." So in my classroom, I tell the children, you can ask them, they're sitting here. I tell them about Jesus coming. I make them excited because it's an exciting time. There's nothing to fear. Yes, there's something to fear if you stay here. Yes, if you stay, you will have lots to fear. I don't even want to start telling you what's going to happen. But when we go with him, we're going to be at the wedding feast. And you know what, especially the women and the young girls, you know how excited we are about our wedding day. We've just planned a wedding. My daughter got married. And we had to wait 38 years. But you know what, the excitement we had. The getting ready a year before the time we started planning. We booked the venue. We went to look for it. Some days I was so tired when I heard the Skype going on. Mom, have you done this? Have you done that? Have you done that? And I think, oh no, more things to do. But we did it. We went through a whole year of preparing. And yes, sometimes it was hard. I had to make little flags. And my sewing machine didn't want to work properly, but I struggled through 500 of them. And it was so exciting. And you know, when she arrived, it was a week before the wedding. And now she still had to have a wedding dress made. And everybody was crazy. We went through the night making that beautiful dress. And on the day of the marriage, it was just so amazing. She wanted to get married at the sea. I said, my dear girl, how do you know it's going to be a nice day? Because, Lord, mommy, it must be outside. And you know what? The Lord made a beautiful day for her. And we had a wonderful time. It was so great. Yes, we had a lot of preparation. And you know, God reminded me of that. We are in the time of preparation. So when things go tough, don't worry. The wedding feast is going to be perfect. You are busy making your own wedding dress. So don't put a few sad faces on them. Put beautiful beads of brilliant sunshine. And like David said this morning, in spite of sometimes things go very, very wrong, be excited. Because God is just busy preparing us. You know, when the silversmith makes something out of silver, it takes a long time to hammer it and to shine it and to cut it. So yes, sometimes God needs to cut you. You know, I love gardening. So sometimes when I prune the trees in my garden, then I say to them, don't worry, when spring comes, you're going to be beautiful. And you know what? This is what we need to say to ourselves. When we go through tough times, don't worry. When spring comes, I'll be ready. I'll be the one who bears the good fruit. Now let's stop the wedding part. Let's go to Psalm 1. And let's see what must the bride look like when Christ comes. I'm just going to read to you from Psalm 1. But those who love the Lord, but in verse 2, but they delight in doing everything the Lord wants. Day and night they think about his law. They are like trees planted along the river bank, bearing fruit each season without fail. Their leaves never withers, and in all they do, they prosper. And you know what? If you think, I just started thinking about trees, and I thought about the roots of a tree. You know, no tree can grow tall and high if it does not have a good foundation, if it's not firmly rooted in the ground. And we are so privileged to have Jesus, the rock, in which we could be firmly rooted. So we need not worry about the winds of life, the hurts and the things coming at us, because our roots are firmly rooted in Jesus Christ. And also, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. My father always used to tell me, when you plant a plant, you put water in the hole before you plant the plant, because its mouth is in its roots, he always used to say. And you know what? Weigh and behold, even if it was a bit withered, if I planted something and I first put water in the hole, the plant would grow. And this is what God just wants to say to us. Jesus is the bread of life. And our roots must be in him to really be really going through good things and really growing into a tree that's really strong. And then also, it also tells me of seeking God's face. You know, if you plant a tree, you will find that if there's water nearby, the roots tend to go towards the water. And sometimes it will not only grow in one direction because those roots are looking for the water. You ask Opie how many times he needs to open up drain pipes at the school where the trees grow. Because those trees' roots grow right into the drain pipes because they're looking for the water. So this is what happens. The roots need to be there and we need to seek God's face. And when we were singing this morning, I just got realized this is such a place to seek God's face. Then the next thing is the leaves of the tree. When I was in primary school, my teacher always used to say, a leaf of a plant is a factory. And you know what? If that factory is lame and withered, cannot produce good fruit to make the plant grow. So our lives is the whole thing that we go through life is like a factory to change us and transform us and grow us into great people. You know, I just want to share this with you. Long ago, when this church was in right in the beginning of it, we had lots of women in the church, but very few men. And you know, as the women started praying, and as they started realizing their position in humility and submission under their husbands, God started bringing in the men. And you know what? If I think back of some of the men in our church, they were shy. They didn't even want to look up. They looked down. They came, but I could see it in their body language. They were shy. But you know what? If I look at them now, I just see God smiling down on them. I see them as men standing here to lead us so that we as women can follow and be glad. And I want to thank you for each man in this church who stood up and took whatever it took to get you into the position that you are now. I thank God that He transformed you and made you into the men that we as women would like to look up to. Thank you for that. And thank you for persevering. I know sometimes it was hard, but you persevered. And we as women want to honor you this morning and say thank you for allowing God to transform you. The next thing is the flowers. And the flowers are also always, to me, like, showing off the glory of God. And you know, if we really have good flowers in our lives, we should show the glory of God. Because the Bible says very clearly that God does not share his glory with anyone. But you know what? He calls us his glory. Isn't that amazing? The mighty, powerful God of the universe called me his glory. And you know what? That's why I feel more and more we need to send our roots in. We need to be transformed. We need to keep on going so that we can become God's glory. And then the next thing is the fruit. The fruit to me is service. You know, as we serve others, as we serve God, as we serve the world. And you know, I think this is where Christianity at a certain stage really took the wrong route. We started criticizing. We told the world, you may do this, you may not do that, you may do this. And we started giving them all kinds of laws. And it pushed them away from God. But you know, if we love them, they cannot withstand love. They cannot, because they see that we love them in spite of who they are. We forgive them for things that they do against us. And we actually go and ask them forgiveness even though they sinned against us. That makes people think. That is the stuff that makes, you know, I've often seen parents coming to me furious. Look, they're ready to kill me. And then if they tell me what's the problem and I could say to them, you have all the right in the world to feel the way you feel. You see the change in that. I remember one mother one morning wanted to come into my class. She was very angry. But she had no ground for what she was accusing me of. But I just said to her, you know you have all the right. You don't know all the detail. And so I can understand if I were in your shoes, I would have done the same. And she changed immediately. And then she gave me a chance to explain to her and to show the truth to her. And she completely changed. And she became the one that was always there for me when I needed help. So I want to tell you, I want to promise you that God says in His Word, if you come in the opposite spirit, you will have victory. Yes, it's hard. This week we had a couple coming to us, and they're a lovely Christian couple. But the wife has the most terrible headaches. And she said, please, won't you come and pray for us? So we went and asked some of our friends who were also Christians on the school grounds. And we said, please, just come with us. Let's just go and pray for this couple. And you know, when God gave me scripture, the scripture says, your minds will be renewed. And then it says, and you will be given the power that Christ was risen from the dead. So I thought, well, that's just maybe what I need to tell her, that God's power will save her. But this beginning of this verse kept on hammering in my brain. Renewed mind. And I thought, well, maybe I'm just stupid. Maybe I'm just wrong in this. And when this woman started talking, she said, before you pray, I want to tell you that I have no relationship with my father. I actually feel like hating him. And I knew. And what was so amazing, I mean, I could tell her whatever I liked because my relationship with my father was fairly good. So I couldn't witness out of my own life. But way and behold, the other couple, the man says, may I share something with you? He said, I had no relationship with my mother. And God started talking to me about it. And I took my car from Worcester to Mossel Bay, and I went to her and I said to her, I'm sorry, Mom. I'm sorry for what I've done. He said, you know what she said to me? Please wash the dishes. And he was a grown-up married man. He said, now wash the dishes. And we chatted about everything except that thing that I came for. She didn't want to talk about it. He said, later on, she became quite old and she was in an old age home. And he often went to visit her from Worcester to Mossel Bay. And he spent a lot of money to buy things for her. He says, more than 100 rand a time. He says, and when he gets there, all she says is, you know, your brother brought me some toothpaste. And she was so excited about the brother's toothpaste, but not about the lots of stuff that he brought. But he said, you know what? I was free of not being able to forgive my mother. I forgave her in spite of all this. He says, and I loved her and I served her until the day she died. And I was free. And you know what? That was so amazing. I could see this woman's face lifting up. And we spoke to her about honoring your father. And we spoke, and we shared with her things that God, and things that was hard for her to hear. But you know what? The next morning, we prayed for her, and we anointed her with oil, and we left. But I could see that she was smiling. And the next morning, her husband came to Umopi, and he said, you know what? I have a new wife. And this is what God is doing. This is the process He's taking us through to make us the trees that He wants us to be. Now, the next thing is that what we will be is a shadow. Yes, a shadow is just a dark spot. But a shadow is also a place of shelter. A place where people can find healing and rest. So let's not be the accusers. Let's be the place of rest. Let's be such a beautiful tree that the people in this world would say, I want what you have. I want to have the peace above all understanding that you have. And this is why we need to grow into these trees. Another thing that I just want to emphasize that, you know, God has just put a few things in my mind that we should do to get ready as a bride of Christ for that day when He comes on the clouds and when He will in an instant just by the putting out of his hands, we will move up to him and we will be changed immediately. We will be changed into light, into spiritual beings that will serve him in heaven. And now this is what he asks of us. Sometimes he says to us, walk in fire with me. Like he did with Daniel's friends. And you know what was so amazing at Daniel's friends? When they obeyed God and they walked in the fire, Jesus was walking with them. And you know, if you read the Bible about that story, you see that when they came out, they didn't even smell of fire. But the people who put them in there were killed because of the heat of the fire. So if you are in the fire, know that God is there with you. The next thing is look up and rejoice. This generation must look up and rejoice. You know what Jesus said? When his country will become a new country, that's like Israel, become a country again after thousands of years, then that generation that is born then, that generation will be the generation that sees him. Because he said to his disciples, you will see me soon, and they never saw him. But he said that generation will see him. So those of us who are born in this time, after Israel became a country, we must be sure we will see the Lord. And we must be ready for that. Yes, we don't have to panic. Spurgeon's plant a tree if you're going to die tomorrow. So let's just go on and fight the battle. Let's go on and be the fire that will burn out what's wrong. You know what? We see these things happening that's wrong in our country, and we stand back and we say nothing. We see the green people stand up when they want to kill a seal, but we be quiet when they want to say we're not going to open our country's parliament with prayer. When they say all religion, all Christian religion out of schools, we keep quiet. We say nothing. And you know what? We are part of it if we keep quiet. So let's go and really go into the fire for him. Let's go and do what God says we need to do. We stand sometimes in a circle and people say things that we shouldn't be hearing. And we don't have to attack them. We can just say, please, I'm not happy when you say that. It's not right for me. Will you please not do that again? And you know, I know one person said one day, she was speaking to the secretary and she was swearing like a sailor. And she was not accusing her of anything. She just said to her, you know, you're such a beautiful woman. You have such a lovely smile. I can't believe that those words come from your mouth. You don't look like somebody that will swear like that. And she said she never heard her swear again. She never accused her of anything. She was actually saying something good about her. So let's be careful in how we say it, but let's be bold in how we attack these things. Then look up and rejoice. We've done that. Now be bold. Walk in his strength. You know, we're not lambs. Yes, Jesus was a lamb, but Jesus was also the Lion of Judah. Let's become the Lions of Judah. Let's walk in strength. Just this morning we were singing, our God reigns. And if our God reigns, why are we so feeble? Why are we so scared? Why can't we stand up and say, I'm a Christian, I believe in the living God. Yes, we don't have to push other people around, but you know, by the power of your testimony, that's what will get people to listen to you. When you can testify about what God is doing for you, instead of attacking them. Then the next one is, have enough oil. Have his indwelling spirit. Because remember the 10 ladies waiting for the bridegroom to come? They were waiting and only 5 of them had enough oil. Let's make sure that we have enough oil. Let's seek God's face to get that indwelling spirit. The next thing is, you know, what was amazing, I just heard a preacher say that the other day. He said, be priests, not to have regulations, because that brings religion. Sometimes as priests, we want to bring all kinds of regulations, and you may not. But we do not bring the love of Christ. Let's be that priest who really share God's heart with God's people. Then be kings. Let's rule over sin. Let's rule over that those things that in our town. You know, sometimes we walk up the streets and we say, oh, look how dirty the streets are. Have you ever bent down and picked up papers yourself? I heard of a woman the other day. She decided that she's now had enough time complaining. So she decided every evening she would go into a street and she would pick up papers. And you know what? She's got the whole neighborhood doing the same. Because she started. She said, I'm going to stop complaining. I'm going to start doing. Let's start doing. And let's get other people enthusiastic with us. The next thing is be prophets. Now, prophets, it's not an easy job to be a prophet. But you know what? You don't have to tell the future if you're a prophet. If you just bring the word like Mario did this morning. He was obedient to God's call. And you know what? Chris sat there and he wanted to bring exactly the same scripture. And I thought, wow, and this is what I want to talk to you about this morning. So God, just be obedient. When God tells you to go to somebody and just tell them, you know, you have such a nice smile. Or you look so good this morning. Or you have such a pretty dress. Just say something positive to somebody and you'll see the change you bring. That's being a prophet. You are bringing God's glory into people's lives. The next one is do not entertain the devil. You know, while we were getting ready for the wedding, all kinds of things went wrong. And now my daughter, sometimes when she's really stressed, she can blow her top sometimes. And I could see, now it's coming. And I just went to her one day. God just put this in my heart. And I just said to her, I think you must stop entertaining the devil. God will provide. And you know, every problem we had, God provided. 5 minutes before she had to enter, we discovered that we forgot about the confetti. And she wanted little flowers to be cut up. And we forgot about it. And I said to her, we don't have the confetti. And the little bridesmaids stood there with their buckets empty. And I said, Lord, we're not going to entertain the devil. And within 3 minutes, somebody came in, cut up the flowers, filled up the buckets, and there she went. And it was just, you know, little things like that. And God just showed me, don't entertain the devil. Don't become angry. Because he's going to use that and he's going to destroy. So let's not entertain him. Choose to come in the opposite spirit. You know, there's a lot of things in Christian life that's about choice. So let's choose these things. Then the last one I want to talk to be about is live to be hope to the hopeless. You be the hope for the hopeless. If they can't go on anymore, just lift them up. Just pick them up. Just help them. Just take their hand. Even if you've got to walk with them for a year, 3, 4, 5 years, walk with them. Be the courage that will encourage them to stand up. And then, you know what, that make a hole in the roof for those friends who made a hole in the roof of that house. You know, the houses in Israel in those days, if you made a hole in the roof, you had to rebuild the whole roof afterwards. So they, knowing that, they still made a hole in the roof to get their friend down to Jesus. So let's make holes in the roofs that stand between us and helping other people. And then let's not be observers. Let's get into action. Yes, every one of us have a different way of being action. Some of us need to pray. Some of us need to go and do something. Some of us are go-getters like Tanya. If you tell Tanya something, within an hour, she started doing it. And you know, and that's always amazing about her because I'm not like that. I'm a bit tomorrow. So yes, I always admire her for that. When there's something to be done, she'll do it and she'll go for it with everything in her. and she inspires other people. She inspires me. So then I also start going before tomorrow. So see, if you have a personality like that, do it. Go. You will have people who will follow you. Then also that we need to really think about somebody that you really want to get to know the Lord. And start praying and fasting for that person. You don't have to go without food. You know what? Once I got, I love my tea. And I said to the Lord, you know what? I'll give up my tea for a week. And when the week was over, God says, another week. And it went on for 70 days. I had to fast off tea. And to me, that's even worse than going without food. So it was so hard for me, but I kept on. And the report back was amazing. Because with fasting, you really get God's attention, but you also make the devil realize, I don't have any power. So let's fast and pray. But you know, I'm doing a course now on inner healing. And I went to this course very smart. I thought, ooh, you know what? I'm sorted out. I've gone through F3 and I've done all these things and I'm okay. And the first night they spoke about righteousness and self-righteousness. I went back home crying. I was really just blown down. And I really realized, you know what? You can be as close to the Lord as you like, but you sometimes have to go back and check. Because I was praying the last few months, Lord, please, I have a tape in my car. Cleanse me. And God is busy cleansing me. For 3 nights I went, and for 2 of those nights I went back home crying. And God showed me there's so many things still that He needs to change. So let's go and let's really ask God's forgiveness. Let's forgive everybody. When God shows you something in your mind, even if it's a little thing, I had to forgive a teacher of mine when I was in grade 4 who was shouting at me. I mean, she didn't even hit me. She just shouted at me. And I remembered that incident. And I had to go and say, sorry, teacher, for being so angry with you. Because I hated her. I got all the kids up against her. And it was just a little farm school, so we were angry. And you know what? It was, and it's so amazing. I forgot about it completely. And just the other night, God reminded me about her again. And I had to forgive her. And what freedom. What rejoicing I had after that. So please, if God reminds you of an incident like that in your past, forgive. Get rid of it. You don't have to carry it with you. Carry the joy of the Lord. Let's just close our eyes. Father, we thank you for being such a patient Father. Father, we thank you for Jesus, our bridegroom, that's waiting. Lord, help us to get ready to see His face. Father, we know that He's anxious to see us. Lord, and therefore we want to get ready. We want to bring every lost soul in so that they can also rejoice with us. Lord, we want nobody to stay behind. Father, we pray that you will give us the courage to go out in this world and touch the lives of people. Father, that we will forgive, forget, and just love, and come and be the lifters up of those who are lost. Thank you, Father, for your great love for us. Thank you that you pour your love into our hearts so that we can love again. We thank you, Father, for being able to call you our Father and to just bow down before you. We honor you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if there's anybody this morning who have anything that they need to, for us to pray with them, you are willing to come, and you may come forward and just come and just stand before the Lord and just wait upon Him and just receive His healing love. If there's any area that you need to, for us to pray with you, otherwise, thank you for coming. Enjoy your Sunday, enjoy your Valentine's Day, and enjoy a cup of tea with us. Thank you very much.